on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, along with Benjamin Albright, weekday nights on 850 KOA over in Denver. He co-hosts Broncos Country Tonight. Ryan Edwards joins us. Ryan, I appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, number nine on Thursday night. Number one, do you think the Broncos will be at number nine on Thursday? Let's start with that. Do you think George Payton stays there?
I'd lean towards, man, this is, we've diced this up in every different direction, and they've floated enough different things. I'm not trying to avoid here, but I'm kind of trying to avoid.
It's okay.
Because they've gone a lot of different directions. They've talked about, well, if there's a guy we like, we're going to trade up for him. I think the value of the draft is to trade back. So, and based on his time with the Minnesota Vikings, that seems more likely than anything. So if you're going to go by percentages of this thing, I say he trades back. But, you know, again, we don't know how the board's going to fall. And if, say, both Trey Lance and Justin Fields happen to be there at nine, and the Broncos feel like that's an upgrade to their quarterback room, then they might pull the trigger there. They could also gain a king's ransom from somebody trading up and decide to multiply those picks, you know, build the war chest, that type of thing. So I'd say the more likely scenario is they trade back. But, I mean, and that's also because I don't really love a lot of the value at nine if there isn't a quarterback there. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I look at that value of nine, and a lot of the style of players or the value or the type of players there, I feel like you could get some of those guys a few picks back, maybe even into the teens. So if it were up to me, that would be probably my play number one. I'd have that worked out ahead of the draft.
Ryan Edwards from Broncos Country Tonight, 850 KOA, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, let's say one of those guys happens to be there. I don't think that'll probably be the case, but let's say somebody slips to number nine. Who would your preference be?
I like Justin Fields better. Ben likes Trey Lance. I guess it's all eye of the beholder kind of stuff. You know, even, you know, yesterday we're finding out that the 49ers are preferring Mac Jones and Trey Lance. So for me, it's Justin Fields. I love his deep throw. I like his accuracy. I still think that he's got some untapped potential, and I don't think it's going to take him as long to get there as Trey Lance is. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, if you really want to upgrade the quarterback room, I think either guy upgrades your backup, right? I mean, either guy's going to be better than Jeff Driskel. But that's not what we're trying to do here. You're trying to not only upgrade that, you're trying to upgrade for the future. You're trying to upgrade the overall quarterback play. And I think you're going to get there faster with Justin Fields. Trey Lance may have a higher ceiling, but, you know, does it really matter if it takes him 2 or 3 years to get there and you change offensive coordinators in that time? Because, of course, that's what the Broncos historically have done. So for me, I just think Justin Fields is more consistent. I think he has the better chance to be a higher level pro faster.
So you really feel that there's a good chance they'll trade back, and that there's still, though, the need to address competition in that quarterback room. And we've heard that, you know, because of George Payton drafting Teddy Bridgewater when George worked with the Vikings, that, you know, obviously with Carolina, they'd like to do something with Bridgewater because of bringing in Sam Darnold. They'd like to maybe make a move and send him someplace else. Does that, for you, Ryan, seem like the most likely scenario, that it's going to be probably Teddy Bridgewater that comes to Denver? Or what do you think might be the way they answer providing competition in the quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, that we're connecting a lot of dots there, but it makes a lot of sense, especially if Carolina's willing to eat some of that contract. If they really are set on, we're trading this guy, we're not releasing him, then that's going to come as the caveat. Hey, you guys got to eat some contract. And you know, George Payton kind of pointed this out in his pre-draft press conference. These things change on draft night. Teams that were not in the quarterback market all of a sudden become in the quarterback market, or say they draft a quarterback at a position that nobody thought, well, all of a sudden that guy, the backup or the guy that was a starter, is now on the trade block. So things can change. But, yeah, I mean, I think right now that's kind of where most of us are leaning is, okay, Teddy Bridgewater makes the most sense because he does – at least assign a certain amount of competition to that room, even if it's not really the upside you ultimately need in the position long term. It's a bit of a band-aid, and the Broncos have been doing that, and the fan base isn't very thrilled about stuff like that. You know, we've seen enough band-aids here for over time, so I can see why people are kind of like, really, that's the best you can do? But, you know, considering the market, I mean, you think about what free agency was. I mean, did you really want Andy Dalton here for $10 million? Did you really want Ryan Fitzpatrick? I don't think anybody would have thought those necessarily upgrade you for the long term. any of the trades. They dipped their toe in the Matt Stafford deal, but that was pretty much it. They weren't interested in Carson Wentz. They didn't think he was appreciably better. Weren't interested in, I mean, I guess they dipped their toe a little bit in Sam Darnold. They made calls, but they didn't make an offer, so they weren't really in on him. So as far as they've stuck to their guns here. They said as long as it's not appreciable upgrade, we're just not really all that interested.
I thought George Payton's comments were interesting at the pre-draft presser he did last week, where he had a lot of praise for Drew Lock and feels like there's potential there. But then there's the comment about, well, we need competition in the quarterback room. It's, you know, I believe that, you know, there certainly was a mixed message from George Payton, which I get it. This time of the year, you're playing poker. And, yep. and sending a mixed message is the perfect thing to do to keep everybody off balance.
Well, it is. And so, yeah, the people, and this is the tough thing. Everybody reads into it what they want to
right.
read into it. And even the very first statement on Drew Lock, well, he's not the week one starter. Well, I mean, why would you name him week one starter right now when your whole point along has been to bring in competition? So people immediately took that and ran with it and said, oh, well, there you go. Drew Lock's not the week one starter. And it's like, well, hold on. That's not exactly what he said. And even he texted Ben Albright, my co-host, and gave him a better quote for our show that night and kind of said, no, this is what I meant. I meant we're still trying to build, you know, get somebody else in that room, and there's no need to name a week one starter in April. So, I mean, that seems pretty logical to me when you said and maintained all along that you're not naming a starter right now. I mean, I just think that's good. And Drew Lock didn't earn the right to be the starter outright, so let's just continue on and see where he ends up going with this. But, yeah, I mean, he's trying to play poker, like a lot of GMs. It's the lying season. But I feel like he's trying his best to bridge that gap. And, you know, we're still getting used to what his style is, really. You know, we were talking about that a while back about, well, you know, if John Elway said this, then we know what that usually means because we've been around him for a long time. Well, George Payton's saying something similar. I don't know if it means the same thing. And so now we have to kind of, you know, we're reading into it maybe a little bit too much.
Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country tonight, 850 KOA, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned that you're not really crazy about a lot of the guys that are could be available for the Broncos at number nine. I know there's been some talk that maybe, Penei Sewell from Oregon slips to number nine, Rashawn Slater, the Northwestern offensive tackle. That's a possibility as well. Is there anybody here that you really, really do like, though, that if at number nine, if they took them, you'd be like, okay, I'm good with them taking that guy?
Well, I do like Slater a lot, and I like his versatility. He could play any position along the offensive line. And so let's say Lloyd Cushenberry struggles. I don't think he will. I think Lloyd Cushenberry is going to take a really big leap forward with Mike Munchak as his head coach for another year. But let's just say he struggles a little bit, or Graham Glasgow struggles, or they have to make some – or, hey, Juwan James. Who knows? We don't even know what Juwan James is. So you give yourself some options there, and then by next year he's your full-time right tackle because you're probably going to move on from Juwan James. And I love the opportunity to draft on strength. I know that some teams don't always have that, and the Broncos, who've been a team that have been losing for a while, have definitely not been in that position. But to draft a first-round pick, you know, you remember back several years ago when John Elway was drafting pass rushers, when he didn't need a pass rusher or a cornerback, when he didn't need a cornerback. But it's always good because, again, those guys end up playing, and you get injuries. And all of a sudden, it's like, dude, we have this first-rounder basically ready to go at this position we all of a sudden need. We just didn't know we needed it right away. So I like Rashawn Slater the best of those options. I think he represents a very high floor, and I think the versatility gives you some things to work with. I'm a huge J.C. Horn fan. That's kind of my favorite cornerback in the draft, though I could make an argument for Greg Newsom as maybe a little bit better. Ben likes Patrick Surtain. So I don't have too much. I'm not going to freak out if they stay at nine, they get stuck there, and they have to take one of these players because they're all very good. I think the one guy that I'm not as high on is Micah Parsons, and it's not because he doesn't fit, because he could fit, and he's a very incredible athlete. Some of the off-field stuff, I'm not going to get into it here. You can Google it yourself. But some of the off-field stuff is very concerning, so they would have had to have vetted all that out. And he's not a coverage linebacker. Like, he wasn't really asked to do that. In zone, sure, he could be fine. But you want to upgrade the linebacker position. You'd like to upgrade it in a lot of different ways, especially with the requisite coverage ability. Now, if he could learn it, sure. Maybe he just wasn't asked to do it. That's fine. But, again, I'm taking that guy at nine. He's a day one starter. I want him to be a day one contributor in every facet.
I was going to ask about Micah Parsons because I'm with you. I'm not going to get into all the you know, the off the field concerns about him. But you're right. He played defensive end in high school. They didn't ask him at Penn State to get into play a lot of coverage, particularly in, you know, man coverage. What's one of the things we've talked about after the Super Bowl? Finding linebackers that can cover a Travis Kelce, like Lavonte David did for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Justin Sternad could be that guy this year. Maybe we'll see if that's the case. He seems like he's a better fit for that than Micah Parsons would be.
100%. No, I mean, you're spot on, and that was a guy you got late day three. And if you do want to upgrade the linebacker room, because, again, you know, Alexander Johnson's on a one-year contract, Josie Jewell's on a one-year contract at this point, I think you need to add to the linebacker room, especially because Sternad didn't even make it out of camp. But go get Jamin Davis, right? Go get. I mean, if you like Nick Bolton, fine. Jabril Cox is a really good coverage linebacker at LSU. There's some really good day two. Baron Browning, a little bit more of a pass rusher, but again, he's got all the requisite ability, and you're taking him in day two. I don't mind taking a day two guy that I can teach the position a little bit to because he's got upside. I just don't want to take a round one top 10 pick that has limitations to his game. And again, I think he is an unbelievable athlete, and of course he upgrades your team, and he does fit Vic Fangio. It's just you need the coverage linebacker piece, and so you're basically doubling up on Alexander Johnson. Okay, fine, then he's your Alexander Johnson next year. You still need another linebacker, and then where are you going to go get that guy?
Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country Tonight, 850 KOA, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I was noticing that Todd McShay has the Broncos taking Asante Samuel Jr., the Florida State cornerback, with the 40th pick. I guess just your thoughts about that. They already went out and signed Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller. I mean, that secondary looks like it's really, really loaded, but they also only have Kyle Fuller on a one-year deal. Bryce Callahan is fine when he's healthy, but that's not always the case. Just your takeaway on Asante Samuel Jr., is that a good fit for the Broncos in that secondary?
He is. Yeah, he'd be a great fit. And, you know, they like the smaller corners. They like the guys that can profile as slot corners. Elijah Molden is another guy that's going to go in that range from Washington. So you look at those two guys as kind of the smaller diminutive. But Asante Samuel has had more experience playing boundary, and I think that's where he maybe has a little bit of a leg up on Elijah Molden. I think Elijah Molden could learn the position. I think his intelligence and the PBUs and all that, he's been phenomenal. But, again, he has just mostly predominantly, I think, all experience in the slot. Vic Fangio and Ned Donatell love those guys. I mean, they brought in Bryce Callahan, right? I mean, that, like, he's a guy that they brought in as a slot corner, and they played him on the outside. You know, and partly, I don't know if they would necessarily wanted to do that the whole time, but they knew he could. And so, yeah, Asante Samuel at 40 would be a great pick. And it would be a great spot to do it, too. I mean, it depends, again, on what you do at 9, right? So if you decide to go defense at 9, well, you're probably not going defense at 40. And again, you still need to get an offensive tackle at some point. So you kind of have to watch and monitor the ebbs and flows of this thing and try to get yourself in a tier of the elites or the best version you can, you know, and you don't want to be at the back end of that if you can, but you don't want to miss the tier altogether. So if corners start flying off the board, especially in that range, then Asante Samuel would be a home run pick.
Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country Tonight, 850 KOA, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Mike Clay over at ESPN put out his unit grades. Broncos with, according to Clay, the at least right now on paper, the number one defense in the NFL. Buying or selling that, Ryan?
Well, okay. The whole on paper thing is always funny to me, right? Because, for example, the Chargers on paper have been the best team in the AFC West next to the Chiefs for how long?
Right.
And they barely sniffed the playoffs ever. So we kind of chuckle about the on paper stuff, but I'll say that if the linebacking core can play at a consistent level, because again, you're kind of, you're squeezing the end of the toothpaste here a little bit, right? I mean, Josie Jewell is not expected to be a starting linebacker. Alexander Johnson has overachieved what even the Broncos probably brought him in as a free agent and expected from him. So you're doing well there. Love what they've done up front. I expect big things from Draymond Jones, bringing back Shelby Harris, especially in a defensive tackle class and the rookies that's just not going to be very deep. And then, of course, your secondary is unbelievable. So, yes, on paper, I do like all of that. You also play in a division with Patrick Mahomes. And there are going to be two games a year where you're not going to be able to – I mean, holding him to 20 or around 20 is going to be a tall task. Now, they've done it, but it's, you know, it's just not the usual. And so you have to, you know, play complementary. For me, it's all that comes back to, can the offense play complementary to the defense and not put them in bad positions? Also, the defense, surprisingly poor at getting turnovers, which is something that's like a signature thing of Vic Fangio. So, like, yeah, we could sit here and be like, okay, well, I like the depth. I like who their starters are. I think that there's a lot of potential there. But they're going to have to show some things that they just haven't shown yet under Vic Fangio. And the biggest one right there is getting turnovers. But getting turnovers means you have to have a lead most of the time, which means the offense has to help you out. So for me, the first step really here is to get back to complementary football, whatever version of that for this team is.
Before we wrap it up here, I wanted your takeaway on what the Chiefs did yesterday, the Orlando Brown trade with the Ravens. Yeah. Just your thoughts on that.
I give them credit. You know, I mean, you know, they bounced both their offensive tackles early on, and you're just kind of like, whoa, you know, you're in your Super Bowl window. What are you doing? But they've done a good job solving that. I think that they kind of like with the Texans did with Laremy Tunsil, they kind of put themselves in a bit of a bad spot for the future of this thing when they do have to pay him. You're going to have to pay. You gave up too much to just, you know, let him go after this. So I think that you've kind of put yourself in a spot with him. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, he definitely upgrades their offensive line. He makes it so that they don't enter the draft with a desperation need there. And honestly, I think that for them, the focus is what can we do to get better on the field at this very moment. We'll deal with the rest of it later. And if I'm building a team and I already have my quarterback, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Hey, Ryan, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thanks.
All right, take care. Ryan Edwards from Broncos Country Tonight, 850 KOA, joining us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So,